again. And I think this is going to be the last message. So what are we going to do next week? Well, Jesus may come. Well, he might. Amen. I don't think I'll plan anything. And, you know, Lord, I hope you come. I'm not going to prepare anything for next week. No. We'll be ready. Amen. Because we're to what? We're to occupy till he comes, right? Amen. All right. Do business. One translation says, do business till I come again. So, amen. We're going to keep business going here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke 18, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So again, this parable, the purpose of this parable, the reason that Jesus gave it to us was so that we would always pray and not lose heart. Amen. He said he told them a parable that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And then he ends it by saying, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And that tells me one thing, it takes faith to pray. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. Prayer doesn't make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. Amen. Jesus said, all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Well, he added that word believing in there, which means you can ask for stuff in prayer, but if you're not believing, you won't receive. Amen. It's faith that makes prayer work. And so Jesus is talking about prayer, not losing heart, not giving up, always praying. And he's also talking about faith because you can't separate the two. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. All right. So when Jesus comes back, he's looking for faith. He'll be looking for faith. Will he find us living by faith and walking in faith? I pray that he does. I believe that he will. Amen. So I want us to give, or I'm going to take you through a self-test tonight. You ready to take a test? All right, look at this scripture, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves. Now, it's an open book test. I hope you brought your book. It's an open book test tonight. It's a self-examination. He said, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. All right? So we're going to have a self-test tonight, praise God, to make sure that we're in faith. And to do that, we're going to look at four characteristics about faith to see if, okay, am I walking in this? Am I putting these four principles, these four characteristics of faith, am I putting them into practice in my life? Amen? Are you ready? Praise God. All right, characteristic or principle number one is this. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Faith comes by hearing. You already know, okay? Well, are we doing this? Romans 10, 17 says it. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, okay? So how does faith come? It comes by hearing, amen? And it comes by hearing the Word of God, all right? Somebody wisely pointed out that faith does not come by having heard. Faith doesn't come by having heard, but by hearing. You know, you say, oh, well, I've heard that before. Well, maybe you have, but are you hearing it? Is it present tense in your life? The Bible talks about that we can be forgetful hearers in the book of James, right? In Hebrews, it says we need to pay the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest we drift away. So we have to continue to hear the Word of God. Faith doesn't come by having heard. It comes by hearing. Am I in faith? Well, that all depends. Am I continuing to hear? Oh, well, I heard about healing a long time ago. Well, what about, are you continuing to hear the truth and the Word of God in whatever area it is you're endeavoring to have faith in? Amen. Because if you're not hearing, you're not in faith. I said, if you're not hearing, you're not in faith. Amen. Praise God. All right. So what are you hearing? What are you listening to? Jesus said this in Mark 4 and verse number 24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Another wise person said, yes, faith comes by hearing, but faith can also leave by hearing if you're hearing the wrong thing. Amen. You know, the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, came to Jesus. His daughter was lying at the point of death, and Jairus came to Jesus, and he said, come and lay your hands on my daughter that she may be healed, and she will live. That was a faith statement, wasn't it? She will live. And so he was in faith. And so they're on the way to Jairus' house so Jesus can minister to Jairus' daughter and lay hands on his daughter. And he's on his way to do that. And the woman with the issue of blood comes on the scene. And so she gets healed. She touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And power flows out of Jesus into her. And then the Bible says the woman fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Now, it's not just a ladies' thing, because I think I tend to get caught up in details when I tell a story. But you know, a lot of ladies do that, don't they? They get caught up in details. The woman with the issue of blood told Jesus the whole truth. Well, Jesus, it started 12 years ago, and I went to Dr. Weissman. No, wait a minute. It wasn't Dr. Weissman I saw first. It was Dr. Corin I saw first, and then I saw Dr. Weissman. And she told him the whole truth of her testimony about how she had been sick for 12 years and had that flow of blood for 12 years. How else would the gospel writers, how else would they know to write all that down if she hadn't told them? Huh? Do you think about that? She had to tell the story, and she did, and so she told the story. And so Jairus is sitting there looking at his watch while this woman is telling the story. And he's thinking, Jesus, wait a minute, you're supposed to be on your way to my house to heal my daughter. And now you're doing all this, and this big crowd around him. And so sure enough, while the woman is telling her story, messengers come from Jairus' house, and they come to Jesus, and they said, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. And the Bible says that Jesus turned to Jairus in that moment and said, fear not, only believe. What was my point? My point was faith can leave by hearing. That would have been a good opportunity for faith to leave. If Jairus had paid attention to that report. In fact, the Amplified Bible says that Jesus, overhearing but ignoring. I like that. Sometimes you may hear some things, but some of those things you have to ignore. Amen? It's best to put yourself in a position where you don't even hear them, but there'll be times where we hear things that we'll just have to ignore. Amen? Amen? All right. So what are you hearing? What are you listening to? Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Proverbs talks about this in Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, my son, give attention to what? To my words. Incline your ear to what? My sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them. How do we find them? By inclining our ear to them. Amen. Their life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Thank God His words are. Amen. His words are health, medicine to all of our flesh. 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And then in verse 25, he says, let your eyes look where? Straight ahead. And your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. And so he's really saying the same thing that Jesus said when he said, take heed what you hear. He said, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Amen. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Amen. And so we see this truth illustrated in the story and the account in the Gospels of where Peter walked on the water. So I want to take a look at that. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus sent the disciples away. He had just got through feeding the 5,000, and he sends the disciples away by boat to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus stays behind, and he prays, and the disciples get out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes up. Remember? All right? And in verse 25, we'll pick it up there. It says of Matthew 14, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.'" How does faith come? By hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Did Peter hear something? Did Peter hear the Word of God? Is Jesus God? Yes, He is. Did Jesus speak? One word. He said one word, "Come." And that one word, there was enough faith for Peter to walk on the water. Amen? So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter was walking on the water. Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter was walking to meet him. Praise God. He was walking by faith, wasn't he? He was walking on that word that Jesus spoke, "Come." Amen. But, verse 30 says, "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous," what happened? He got his eyes and his focus off of Jesus, didn't he? All right. "When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him." Thank God. Jesus didn't let him drown. Jesus is merciful. Jesus won't let you drown. Amen. Thank God. He stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" Now, this thought occurred to me today. When the Lord asks us a question, He's not seeking information. Did you ever think about that? When the Lord asks you a question, it's not because He doesn't know and He's wanting you to clue Him in. When the Lord asks you or me a question, He's not seeking information. He's trying to impart revelation. He's trying to get us to realize something. He's trying to get us to understand something. Jesus knew exactly why Peter doubted, because he got his eyes off of Jesus. All right. So as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, and who is Jesus? Well, John 1 says He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word. As long as Peter kept his eyes on the Word, he was able to walk on the water. Amen. When he got his eyes off the Word and onto the circumstances, that's when he began to sink. Faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by having heard, but by hearing. We're giving ourselves a self-test, right? We're examining ourselves. Are there areas in our life where we've gotten our eyes and our focus off of the Word and onto the circumstances? If we have, then I would venture a guess that we're probably beginning to sink in those areas. Amen? But if we get our eyes back on the Word, get our focus back on the Word, we can keep walking by faith, walking on the water, amen, to victory. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So Jesus is going to be looking for that when He comes back. Are we walking? Are we walking by faith? Amen. Are we hearing? Are we keeping our focus on what He said? Or are we being all caught up in what's going on around us in the world, what the world's saying, the report in the world? The Bible says in the last days, men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. But we don't have to be that way. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. We know Jesus said, when you see these things, lift up your head, your redemption draws near. Amen? Amen? So if we'll keep our, we have to keep our eyes, keep our focus on the Word, keep hearing the Word. Amen? Amen? That way we know we can stay in faith. Amen. And then point number two is real closely related to this, and that's this: we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. In fact, the scripture tells us that directly, exactly. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 4 says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." Amen. Now that seems like a contradiction. We look at what's not seen. We look at what's not seen. He says we don't look at what we can see, but we look at what we can't see. Well, how can we do that? Well, we have to do that with the eyes of our spirit, don't we? We have to do that by faith, don't we? Amen. Amen. We do not look at the things which are seen. Boy, that's a really, now is a really good time to put this into practice. When you look at the nation and you look at the changes and you look at everything that's going on, now is a good time to not look at the things which are seen, but to keep our eyes and our focus and our faith on what is not seen. Why? For the things which are seen are temporary. That means they're subject to change. Amen. But the things which are not seen, the unseen things that we are to look at, are eternal. Amen. The eternal truths of God, the eternal promises of God, we may not see them with our physical eyes right now, but we embrace them, we hold fast to them, because when we know that God is working right now, you know, people ask me, well, what's going on? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think Donald Trump's going to get back in? And I just have to say, I don't know, but I know that God's working. I know that God is working. Amen. I know that God has heard our prayers. I know He's heard the prayers of His people. And I know that He's working. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. All right. So we look at what is not seen. Hebrews 11:1 tells us to do that as well. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it is the what? Evidence. The evidence of what? The evidence of things not seen. Amen? You know, in court cases and criminal cases and other cases, they have to have evidence, don't they? You know, they can, you know, you, sometimes the case, they try to build a case on circumstantial evidence, and that's a weak case usually, isn't it? Well, we think it happened because we think, you know, this happened here and this circumstance here. But what really seals it is to have hard evidence. Right? Amen. The smoking gun, they say. Well, faith is our evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Praise God. Let's read it in the Amplified. I like the way it reads in the Amplified. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Amen. Isn't that good? I like the way that reads. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Faith is the title deed of the things that we hope for. Do you know it is? I've shared this illustration before, but you know, let's use the example of someone, you know, maybe you had a relative to pass away and you were named in the will. And they left you a piece of property. And you were named in the will and you get this property and it's free and clear. It's paid off and that property belongs to you. You've never seen the property, but when they administered the will and get everything in order, then they mail you the title deed to the property. You've still never seen the property, but you've got the title deed with your name on it saying that that property is yours. Amen? Even though you've never seen it, the title deed doesn't say, well, you'll get it one day. Are you going to get it when you see it, or do you have it now? Huh? You have it now, right? It's yours now, even though you've never seen it. Now you're planning on next month to drive over there and you know, check it out, amen, and to walk on it, but it's yours now, amen? That's what faith is. Faith is the title deed of the things we hope for. Faith says it's mine now. Amen. And this is, I think this is one of the things that we stumble on in faith more than anything. We say, okay, it's going to happen, or God's going to do it, or, you know, faith says it's mine now. God's going to heal me one day. Now, the Bible says with His stripes you were healed. And with your faith, you take it. The title deed of it, I'm healed. With His stripes, I am healed. That's why you can say, even with symptoms in your body, that's why you can say, I am healed. You're not lying to say, well, Pastor, I'm lying. I can't say that. If I've got pain in my body, if I've got symptoms in my body, I can't say I'm healed. Yes, you can, because God says you're healed. Amen. And the title deed, faith, says you're healed. Amen. If you keep putting it off into the future, you know, tomorrow never comes. Amen. Think about that. Faith says it's mine now. I have it now. Amen. It's the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. It's the proof of things we do not see. The conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what's not revealed to the senses. Amen. Praise God. Faith perceives as a real fact. My senses, I don't smell it. I don't see it. I can't hear it. I can't touch it. I can't taste it. But I know it's mine. I know it's real. I know it's done because faith tells me it's done. Amen. Because God promised it to me. God's revealed it in His Word. And I have what God says I have. Amen. All right. Praise God. So let's go down to verse 7 of Hebrews 11. Look at this. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of what? Of what? Things not yet seen. What was that? Rainfall. The Bible tells us that a mist used to come up from the ground and water the earth. It's likely that it had never, ever even rained before until the flood. No, but Noah was divinely warned, it's going to rain. There's going to be a great flood. And Noah acted on that, even though he hadn't seen any outward evidence. What if he had waited? What if he had said, well, I just don't think I can believe that, Lord. I think I'm going to wait till it starts raining and then start building the ark. Been too late then, wouldn't it? It had been way too late then. No. Divinely warned, he was divinely warned of things not yet seen, and he was moved with godly fear, and he did it by faith, though, the Bible says. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, Jesus said this. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. So if Noah could be divinely warned of things not yet seen, then can we be divinely warned of things not yet seen? Well, if we're not walking in faith, we'll miss it, because faith taps into and looks at the things that are not seen. Amen. Praise God. All right. So we can be like Noah. Amen. And we can be in a place of safety and protection as we follow the Lord by faith. Amen. Praise God. Verse 27. Let's look at this one. It's talking about Moses now. In verse 27, it says, by faith he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, how? Again, this sounds like an oxymoron, as seeing him who is invisible. Moses was able to see him who is invisible. How? By faith, the Bible says. By faith he left Egypt. He endured by faith because he was able to see him who is invisible. So again, faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. If we are walking by sight, if we're checking our symptoms, if we're looking at the circumstances, we're going to be out of faith. We're not going to be in faith. The devil is going to, Dad Hagin used to always say, if you'll keep the devil in the arena of faith, in your battle, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, that we have a fight of faith. But if you'll stay in the arena of faith, you'll always win. If the devil can pull you and me over into the arena of senses, into the arena of feeling, into the arena of circumstances, then he's going to discourage us and he's going to defeat us every time. Amen? But if we keep him in the arena of faith, then we win every time. Amen. Praise God. The third thing, so that was the second one, we walk by faith, not by sight. The third thing is this: faith believes and speaks. Faith believes and speaks. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. It says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak." So the principle of faith is believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. Right? In the world, there's a saying, it says, seeing is believing. Right? I'm not going to believe it until I can see it. Well, in the Bible, the principle is believing and speaking brings seeing. Amen. Believing and speaking. Jesus, of course, talked about that. We've got to go to Mark 11, 22. Paul says this, we're walking in the same spirit of faith according to what's written. I believe, therefore I spoke. We believe and we speak. And then Jesus talks about it in Mark 11, 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And he said that in response to, remember what had just happened? The fig tree, yeah. Jesus had just cursed the fig tree. They had come by the fig tree. There was no figs on it. And Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Jesus spoke to a tree. Jesus talked to a tree. And he said, let no one... Have you talked to any trees lately? Have you spoken to any circumstances? We ought to speak to stuff. I don't do enough of that, but I'm going to change. Amen? We ought to be speaking to things. Amen. Jesus talked to a fig tree and he said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And they came by the next day and Peter noticed and he said, look, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. From the roots. Well, what those words went right to the root of the problem. Went right to the root of the issue. Amen? And they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter said, golly, Jesus. Look at what you did. Shazam. All right. I told you I've been watching Andy Griffith, but that's where Gomer got his start on the Andy Griffith show, didn't he? Gomer and Goober. So Judy, Judy, Judy. That's what Goober would say. All right. All right. What are we talking about here? So Peter looked and he said, you know, wow, look at that, Jesus. The fig tree you cursed has withered away. And Jesus said, have faith in God. In other words, he's saying, look, it's not because I'm the Son of God. It's not because of that. He said, this happened because of faith. Really, there's an understood subject to this statement that Jesus makes here. And what is it? You. When he says, have faith in God, he says, you have faith in God. You have faith in God. And then he says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says, whoever does what? Says. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but what? Believes that what? Those things he says will be done. That's what we believe. We believe something very specific. Faith is not just some, you know, general abstract, oh, I believe in God. No, faith is very specific. Here, we believe that the things we say will be done. We believe the things that we say will be done. All right? He will have what? He will have what? Whatever. Who will have whatever they say? Whoever will. Whoever. Does that include you? Will you have whatever you say? Amen. It works for whoever. Jesus said whoever will have whatever he says. Amen. So faith believes and speaks. Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 8. But what does it say? The word is where? Near you. Where's the word at? But then specifically tells us, where's it at? In your mouth and in your heart. So the word's got to be in two places. The word has to be in our mouth and it has to be in our heart. What word is that, Paul? He says, well, it's the word of faith, which we preach, right? What word is it? That is the word of faith, which we preach. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a word of faith preacher. Amen. Sometimes people use that label disparagingly. Oh, you're one of those word of faith preachers. Oh, you're one of those name it and claim it people. Paul proudly identified himself as a word of faith preacher. Amen. The word of faith which we preach. Amen. Praise God. And he says, where's the word at? He said, it's in two places. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That's where faith is. Faith has to be in our mouth and it has to be in our heart. Amen. All right. So he goes on here in verse number 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Did you know that's how you got saved? You got saved by the operation of this principle of faith, by believing in your heart and by saying with your mouth. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's the most basic operation of this principle of faith. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then he tells us the principle here in verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen? That's how you get saved. But that same principle of faith would apply with anything that Jesus provided for us in redemption, the totality of salvation. Not just when we think of salvation, we think of just being born again, our sins washed away, and going to heaven. But salvation is a very broad word. It not only means saved from our sin, which is the most important thing, certainly, but it also means healing. It also means deliverance. It also means preservation. Amen? It means all those things. Praise God. And so to be saved, or we could say to be healed, with the heart one believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto. Whatever it is, that principle of faith is what we put into operation, believing with our heart and with our mouth, making confession unto salvation, the new birth, making confession unto healing, making confession unto divine provision. Amen. Whatever it is, praise God, believing in our heart and making confession with our mouth. Faith believes and speaks. Have you been believing and speaking? Have you been believing and speaking? Well, again, this is a self-test that we're giving ourselves. So let's examine ourselves. Have we been believing and speaking? All right. Then finally, number 4, faith is a fight. Faith is a fight. All right. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, it says, fight what? The good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Amen? So what's he talking about there? He's talking about Jesus in John 10. You know, Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life. And that life is the Greek word zoe. It's talking about the God kind of life, eternal life. Eternal life doesn't begin once you die and go to heaven. That's not when eternal life begins. Jesus said, whoever believes in me has eternal life. Yeah. Amen. Eternal life comes into us the moment we get saved. Paul says, but Timothy, I want you to fight the good fight of faith so you can lay hold of all of it, though. So you can lay hold on eternal life. Why? Because the devil wants to keep you from it. The devil wants to keep you from experiencing all of eternal life, all that's been provided in the life of God, all that's available to you. The devil wants to withhold that from you and try to block you from having that, and he'll try to do that. And so that's why we have to lay hold of it. Amen? Yes. Praise God. Fight the good fight of faith. And like, we're not fighting against God. He's not trying to keep it from us. Right. Amen? We're fighting against the devil who's trying to withhold it from us. It's a fight against Satan. It's a fight against the forces of darkness that are trying to keep you from obtaining all that that God provided for you in redemption through Jesus. Amen? So we have to stand our ground. Amen? You know, well, Pastor, I prayed about that and I'm believing, but it doesn't look like it's happening. Stand your ground. Fight. Fight. Don't give up. Don't give up so easily. Don't quit so easily. Don't throw in the towel and say, well, I guess it must not have been God's will. Oh, I guess God must not have wanted me to have that. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Stand. Amen. We have to stand our ground. Amen? We have to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. 1 Peter, last passage here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, do you know you have an adversary? He says, because you're not God's adversary, not Jesus' adversary, your adversary. Your adversary. Amen. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All right? Now, the devil can't devour us unless we let him. It says he's seeking whom he may. He's seeking whom he may. He has to have your permission, really. You know, either it can come two ways. It can come, number one, it can come through our disobedience and us letting our guard down and getting out from under God's protection through sin and disobedience, or it can come through ignorance. If we don't know what belongs to us, if we don't know what's been provided for us, if we don't know our authority, then Satan will try to come and usurp it and take it from us, all right? And so he's seeking whom he may devour. He's gonna check and see. I wonder if they know their authority. I wonder if they know what belongs to them. I wonder if they know how to use the name of Jesus. I'm going to find out and see. They might not know, and I might be able to take everything from them. He's seeking whom he may devour, all right? So Peter says, be sober and be vigilant. Keep your guard up. Amen? Because Satan's walking around like walking about like a roaring lion. And that's another thing. A lion roars in order to intimidate his prey and get his prey into fear. Because when he can get his prey into fear, then the prey is going to do something stupid. Amen? And fall right into his trap. All right, and that's the way the devil is. He's a roaring lion, and his roar tries to get us into fear. His roar says, "I'm going to kill you with cancer." His roar says, "You know, you're not going to make it. You're going to go broke." His roar says, "You know, your children aren't going to be saved." He roars and tries to get us into fear with those roars. All right. He's seeking whom he may devour. But what are we to do? Verse 9 tells us. Do what? Put verse 9 up there, Roel, if you would. Do what? Resist him. Resist him. How? Steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, let me clarify that, because I think people have misunderstood that. What sufferings is he talking about here? Is he talking about the suffering of the devil devouring you? No. He's talking about the suffering of having to resist the devil, of having to stand against him. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have any opposition? You know, I was always real good at basketball, you know, making shots until the game started and there was actually a defender in front of me. Yeah, that made a difference. Amen. All right. And so resist. We've got an adversary, but we can resist him. Amen. Praise God. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. The suffering of having to resist the devil. The suffering of having to stand in faith. Amen. And not everything just drops on us like, you know, like cherries falling off a tree. Amen. We have to stand and we have to lay hold of these things and we have to use our authority and we have to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. You know, there are times where you won't feel like it, where you won't feel like doing anything but just laying there. But you know, you at least either get the word out and read it, or at least, you know, get your phone and go to YouTube and find Brother Hagin's healing scriptures and let Brother Hagin read the healing scriptures to you. But get the word into you and speak it. And even when you don't feel like it, say, I'm healed. I'm healed. With his stripes, I'm healed. Amen. Praise God. That is resisting the devil. That's being steadfast in faith, not only in the area of healing, but any area that you're dealing with or going through, where you've got a promise from God of victory, a promise of God of provision. You can stand on that word. Amen. It may not look like it's happening. Everything in the circumstances may tell you the opposite that's going on. But if you hold fast, what do? We walk by faith, not by sight. We continue to hear. Faith doesn't come by having heard. It comes by hearing. We believe and we speak. Amen. We fight the good fight of faith and we win. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you. Won't you stand? Will you stand up with me? And let's just praise God for a minute. Just raise your hands and just praise Him. Hallelujah. There's just something good about that. There's just something powerful about that. Hallelujah. Just praise Him. Just thank Him right now. Just thank Him right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The areas of your life, this is a great, praise is a great weapon. Praise is a great way to defeat the devil. Praise God. So just praise Him right now. Hallelujah. Just begin to praise Him right now. Just begin to thank Him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're fighting the good fight of faith by praising God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I praise you. And I thank you. Hallelujah. I thank you for victory, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that your word is true. I thank you, Father. I thank you that with your stripes I was healed. And if I was healed, then I am healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I praise you and I thank you. I praise you and I thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise you and thank you that you're restoring to me all that the enemy's stolen. You're restoring all the years that the locust has eaten. You said you'd do that, Father. Thank you for restoration. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we declare that 2021 is the best year that we've ever had. Hallelujah. Spiritually, financially, in every way, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Your word says the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. And we say that our path is growing brighter and brighter. Not dimmer, not darker, not more distressing, but brighter and brighter. Hallelujah. And we declare that we have light in our dwellings. Hallelujah. It may be dark in the world, but in our houses, we have light in our dwellings. We have light in our dwellings in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for victory in Jesus' name. And we do thank you, Lord, that you're working in our nation in the name of Jesus. And we do declare in Jesus' name that the scepter of wickedness will not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. We thank you, Father, that America will fulfill its divine destiny, that America will not fail, that America will not be brought down, but America will fulfill its divine destiny and divine purpose, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We stand and we bless our nation. We bless our nation in Jesus' name. We thank you for the healing of our nation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for a spiritual awakening and a turning to God in our nation in the name of Jesus. We declare it by faith, Lord. We may not see it with our eyes, but we believe it. We're like Elijah. We hear on the inside of us, we hear the sound of abundance of rain. Elijah saw no evidence of rain outwardly, but he heard it on the inside. And we can hear it on the inside, Lord, the sound of abundance of rain, the sound of revival, the sound of awakening. Hallelujah. And restoration in our nation. And so we declare it in Jesus' name. And we believe it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing us, Lord. Thank you for hearing the prayers of your people all over this nation, Lord. The prayers of your remnant church. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray blessings over my brothers and sisters that are here tonight. I speak healing. I speak strength. I speak victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, yes.